The Great World, written by David Maloof and read by John Derham. People are not always kind, but the kind thing to say of Jenny was that she was simple. Children whose mothers were cooking and found they were short of something, breadcrumbs or a kilo of flour, would set up a wail at the thought of having to go down to Keane's and fetch it. "Oh no, Mum, why me? It's Brett's turn. Make Brett do it." It wasn't the walk they objected to, though it was far enough, down the hill and off the main road to the river, or even the interruption to their favourite programme on TV. It was the odd feeling you got when you stood on the doorstep with the bead curtain still clattering behind you and saw the old woman half sprawled on the counter there, breathing like a big fish that had just been hauled out of the river and stranded. Sometimes she was asleep. You would have to poke a finger into the wool of her cardigan and she would start up and look around in a wild sort of way. Then, when she saw that she knew you, give a wet smile. But simple was the wrong word for her, or so smaller kids thought, because the real thing about Jenny as she flopped about with her thick arms and shuffly slippers was that she was likely to say things, and do things too, that you weren't expecting and could make neither head nor tail of. They felt to a kind of doubt she raised about the order of things. She was ancient, over 60, but grown-ups treated her as if she was 6. You could tell that from the way they spoke to her. Real children looked at Jenny Keane, and she was neither a nice old lady nor a stranded fish, neither a grown-up nor another bigger kid. So what was simple about her? She was slumped now with one elbow on the flaking sill, looking out across the yard past the clothesline and the rotting pepper tree, to where her brother was sitting at the edge of the river, just where the bank shelved to the stream. The river was wide, this side of it sunlit, the other in shadow. Digger had a line out, and every now and then he jiggled it. But he wasn't fishing. When Digger does something, he gets absorbed. The whole of him under the old felt hat is drawn to such a pitch of concentration you can feel it. She can, even at a distance. It can be frightening. What he was concentrating on now was the other fellow's talk. The line was a bluff to make the talk or the listening easier. She made a face. She pushed her tongue up under her lip and squinted. She rubbed the back of her head where the hair was hacked off short as a man's. "Come on, Dig," she said out loud. "Give us a break." The two men sat apart but had their heads together. You could see that. Digger in an old sweater that was loose at the elbows and had a couple of good-sized holes in it that she meant to mend. The other fella, Vic, in a smart-looking overcoat. He was the same age as Digger, but looked younger because he took care of himself. He was always very well turned out. He sat now with his shoes, which were new and well-polished, set down very carefully in the dirt. She noticed the shoes because each time he came they were different. He must have a dozen pairs. She narrowed her eyes, trying to get the gist of what they were talking about. It was the third time he had been here this week. She couldn't actually hear anything, not at this distance. But if she really put her mind to it, she could sometimes pick something up. Not always. But after a minute or two with nothing coming through, she made a huffing sound, got up, went in behind the shelves of the store into the kitchen and took a peek at the oven. This was more like it. Scones. Scones were her long suit. They were coming on nicely.